views of the stratigraphy and the areas. Kind of shows the great beam that they had to go get under. This is Area 5, so this is a quite a large excavation. A majority of it only extends about 4 feet below surface, so entirely within the fill materials, with a few deep excavations where they needed to meet the tie-in pipes. These are the tie-in locations. And then this is kind of the general stratigraphy of the whole rest of the area, the more shallow portions. So in total, 3 previously documented historic properties were identified during our AIS. Those include the SIHP 7307, which is the buried former land surface cultural layer. So that was identified in all the excavations and only a few of the locations where we reached that depth. There was the 2 fragments associated with 7308 and the buried asphalt layer in Area 4 associated with 7309. For the burial, again, it was 3 isolated fragments within the disturbed loamy sand A horizon material. The breaks were old with worn fracture margins, suggesting that it was previously identified in the or previously disturbed in the past. Presumed to be likely native Hawaiian and older than 50 years old. There were no grave goods, grave markers, clothing, or coffin remnants observed. And the areas of origination and back dirt was thoroughly inspected. Here's views of where the 3 fragments came out of in Area 4. Interim protection measures, so in accordance with HR 13332, all 3 isolated fragments were wrapped in clean muslin, then placed in the northeast portion of the Area 4 excavation, and covered with clean sand from the project. The EV was then covered with a 5-sided plywood box, and more of the clean sand, as well as some of the disturbed A horizon material, was backfilled on top of that. We placed the burial metallic caution tape about 6 inches above that material, and as well as a steel plate, and then the area was backfilled to the extent possible. Views of the interim protection measures that were put in place. So before the Iwi Kupuna, both preservation in place and relocation of the Iwi Kupuna are possible. So for preservation in place, the utilities were redesigned to avoid the location of Iwi. Utility pipes are for the drainage of condensation water, so this isn't like sewage running through these pipes. The nearest pipe from the location of the Iwi will be 4 feet. In terms of relocation, there are the previous isolated fragments of Iwi Kupuna were from the International Marketplace project previously were relocated to the Barrow Preserve on the IMP property, so that's also an option. But the decision to preserve in place or relocate will be based on the results of the consultation effort and OIBC's determination. So there are 5 families that are known previously as recognized cultural descendants to SIHP 7308. If there are others that know that you've been previously recognized, if you could please let us know so that we can make sure we include you on that list. A lot of these individuals have passed. So in terms of next steps, in the coming weeks, we'll begin outreach and consultation meetings with recognized cultural descendants to SIHP 7308, as well as the previously recognized lineal cultural descendants of the area, as well as other interested eligible individuals that may have an interest in the EV, OHA, and the OIBC Kona rep. And then we'll be preparing and submitting an addendum AIS for SHPD's review and acceptance, as well as a BTP. That will be based on the results of the consultation effort. Mahalo.
Okay, before we go any further, call calling to order the Wattwiler Burial Council meeting today, Wednesday, November 8, 2023. The time now is 10:23 a.m. And we're doing the meeting both as a Zoom meeting and in person at 1151 Punch Bowl Street, room number 132, Kalani Moku Building. Let's see. I'm going to offer a quick pule to get us started in the meeting today. Pule kako. Amen. I took that a little bit out of order. Going to do roll call with the Oahu Island Burial Council members present today. My name is Kamanao Mills, and I am large landowner representative under Kikula'o Kamehameha.
Yeah, I'm Chuck Airhorn, a large landowner representative, and I missed last month, but it's good to be back.
Auntie Diane.
Aloha Kapu, Diane Fitzsimmons, Wailua Moku representative.
Hello. Auntie Lynette.
Hello, I'm Lynette Cruz. Why am I rep? Not feeling all that great.
We all are. Nanya.
Aloha kako, anemia, aloha kona, breath.
Mahalo,
Nanea. And? Aloha kako, aloha kariaka, Ben Schaefer from Ko'olaloa.
Mahalo, Ben. Just an explanation, so we didn't have a forum earlier, so we took the items out of order for presentation. But with that said, let's see, council members, do we have any questions regarding the presentation for item X, regarding the introduction of the target at international marketplace? Any questions for cultural service?
I have a question. Scott, what is your role in this?
I'm just a project manager for CSH.
Okay, so you're the an archaeologist.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Oh, and by the way, before we go on, I missed last month. I was up at our annual cranberry harvest, so I brought some cranberry goodies to share with you guys. So at the appropriate time, you can come up and open up a package and indulge yourself.
Thank you.
Chocolate covered cranberry. Hope you feel better, Auntie Lynette. Yeah, feel better, Auntie Lynette. Any questions from the Kayaululu? I see a hand up virtually, but anybody else in the audience first? Regarding this agenda item? Seeing none, Kekahili, you have a question?
Hi, mahalo, kamanao. Mahalo, Scott, for your presentation. I am part of the... Oh, hold on a second. I'm Kika Yee. I'm here beside me. It's my friend, Kevi Umiati. We both are part of the Ke Awea Mahi Ohana that you listed. So please contact or speak with Leslie for contact information. So I may participate in the consultation regarding this project.
Mahalo, Kitaidu. Just FYI, your connection is breaking up here and there. But we understood what you said. Given all the questions, thank you so much, Scott, for your presentation. Mahalo nui. Okay. It went back to the agenda. Number three, announcement. Next meeting is scheduled for December 13th, 2023. Agenda item four, approval of summary minutes. I just checked online. We still did not have the election, the videos, and the recording posted online just yet, so we're going to bypass the approval of minutes. One quick question. We have a request for additional information, Leslie, regarding the July 2022 minutes. So not this past July, but the previous year, July. Requesting a draft copy of those.
Okay. July 2022.
Yeah, July 2023. You can email them to me.
Okay.
Then I can shoot it off.
Okay.
And
I have my mic coming up. Can you adjust the...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Your audio is... Can you repeat that again?
Yes. I'm requesting that you adjust the camera in your conference room because we cannot see who's in your audience that's present.
So we're only leaving
their faces are cut off.
Two seats. We're not doing the audience. We're just doing the two seats. So we're just focusing on the business at hand, and whoever comes up, we're focused.
Yeah. What the state has told me is that they're only focusing on the two seats in the front of the boardroom. I don't know how to adjust the cameras, to be quite frank. Anyway, I saw a hand go up.
Yeah. I have testimony for the minute.
Okay, well then I would like to request that if anyone is going to, we can see who's speaking.
Okay, thank you. Well... well, let's just go ahead.
So, I have questions regarding the April 2022 minutes. And given that I provided written testimony to this council for 4 months, July, September, October, and November, in advance of these meetings, I would hope that everybody would be familiar with my testimony. So I really just want to know, when should I expect immediate accountability and correction to the April 2022 OIPC agenda and approved minutes to the SHPD's website?
Right. And so I guess as part of that, well, we had myself, Leslie, I'm really great in party. Hinano. We had a meeting. One of the things we had talked about is we want to get, well, I had requested that all of the recordings that have been here are placed online. Because if you look at the minutes, the minutes are like summary minutes. It gives something and then it gives like a time. But without the recordings, you can't really utilize the minutes. And so we had a discussion, and then the state agreed that they will be placing the recordings up online. And so waiting for those to get back online. And I think part of that will help clear up exactly what you're saying. So when the recordings are placed online for April 2022, we can have this discussion again, cross-compare the two, make sure that the minutes are, in fact, accurate or inaccurate and corrected that way. I need the recordings, is what it is. I don't remember anymore. This has been like over a year, so I'm fighting really hard just to get the recordings online.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. I've also provided emails. So, irrespective of the minutes, you already have evidence proving that what was agendized was requested to be corrected a week before the meeting. Then, upon my arrival, and then as well as during closed session. So I expect immediate action because that's what my Ohana deserves. So you have plenty of time to read that. So my next question regarding this item, specifically April 2022. When was the April 2022 OIBC meetings approved? Because that's not clear on the minutes.
I can't recall about that. I have to go check.
Okay, I'm out. So my next question is, given that there was a statement on page 12 of a contested case indicating that this person provided you advice to seek counsel regarding our recognition, I'm asking when that discussion took place, and if it took place in this public meeting or not.
Repeat that again.
So, on page 12 of the contested case, the petition for contested case against my honor, there is a statement in which the petitioner says that she had a conversation with you and advised you to seek counsel regarding our recognition. I want to know if that discussion took place in a meeting in OIBC, because I'm not sure why my lineal of descendancy claim would be discussed given that my genealogy is protected. And the burial place of my ancestor is protected by, one, the discussion may have occurred in open session, or two, in a closed session that wasn't about me, because you kind of have one discussion about my genealogy with anybody else if that's protected, or three, if a discussion regarding OIBC agenda matters is happening outside of this room, not in the meetings. Because I thought that's documented, right? You folks have had the petition. I provided you a copy.
Wow. I mean, you're throwing this at me now. Like, so I don't recall a lot of this. I've been out of town the last week. I just got back into a few hours ago. So I haven't caught up on any emails, any kind of. So I'm not caught up just yet. But with the questions you asked, I don't recall.
Okay, so okay. Then with all due respect, I would ask that people come prepared. Because my testimony has been the same for 4 months. So none of those questions is different. None of those attachments are different. If I'm expected to be prepared when I come before this council, I would ask the same respect you return to us, that you come prepared, because we need answers. And what this does is it continues to prolong this, which means we got to keep coming back. So that's just a humble request. I understand the difficulty that we all have to endure when coming into this space. But I come prepared, and I send my testimony in advance to every single burial council member. So I'll only get you in those emails in order for me to adhere to Sunshine Law. I send every single OIBC member my testimony. And I have consistently done so for the past 4 months. So I would ask that this be addressed, even if it has to be agendized. And then I can get my answers and not have to keep coming into this room.
I'm still unclear with what exactly you're asking. Are you looking for minutes?
My husband is recognized as a lineal descendant, but he was never on the application. That's the issue. The issue is the contested case hearing petition against my family was using my lineal descendancy claim, but he was never included on the application. And I made that correction when I received the agenda for the April 2022 meeting a week in advance.
So you want the minutes corrected?
Absolutely.
Now we're on to something. Okay. You want the April 2022 minutes corrected to reflect
that my husband was not recognized because he was not a part of the application.
Okay. And so with that, I guess to help to clarify that, one thing I would like to do is review the April 2022 minutes as well as the recordings to ensure accuracy. I can't recall all this stuff off the top of my head, what's happened in April 2022. So is that something I can... I'm willing to take this on as homework to clarify this. If I can get a copy of the recordings as well as the minutes for April 2020.
Yeah, I can present that to you now. Should be given. That's the minutes.
I also need the recordings. But you said you summarized all of this in an email to me.
And you're on the original email correspondence since March of 2022.
Yeah, okay. It's ringing a bell. Anyway.
And the copies of the emails is in that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have other minutes that I wanted to bring up as part of my written testimony. So my second question.
Coming up, is it still 5 minutes for testimony? Are you still doing 5 minutes for testimony?
Well, I mean, this is for minutes. And so, okay, I don't want the kitchen sink thrown at me. We're just starting the meeting here. I don't want to go right into being like aggressive or like this. So, I just ask for your patience. We can talk about this stuff after the meeting, but right now we're in the minutes, and we just want to get going with the meeting. Is that okay?
I would say no, because if I'm not in this room and you guys cover minutes, then you're going to overlook my testimony, which has happened multiple times. So the agenda says this is regarding minutes. I'm here to provide testimony regarding the minutes.
Okay.
That at some point you might hear and I might not be in the room. And my written testimony might be overlooked.
Okay.
Comment. Like, I'm really here because there's matters to
do. And then the other question I would have, it basically, is counsel on the line?
Is what?
The AG.
She was supposed to call at 10.
10:15.
And I haven't received a call, have you?
No, I have not. Because after this, we're going to executive session. Because
right.
One of the other things I want to ask is, I mean, as part of this board, like, we don't draft minutes. That's left to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can go back here and correct this, but I don't think it's my job or my duty to do that. It's more towards the state. So that's one of the things I want to ask the EGs about.
Mr. Chair, I called the office OIP, Office of Information Practices. I used to call them before when I was chairing another state meeting, and I would always inquire them, you know, what are the procedures and what. And so this time I called her about the minutes and who should be doing the minutes.
Right.
Who's responsible for the minutes? And he said, it didn't matter if it was a state person or someone else, or someone who is a member, or maybe even someone in the public. As long as somebody has a minute and they're able to review it, read it, agree to it, and then approve it within 40 days. And because none of the minutes have been done in 40 days or less, and many of the minutes we haven't been able to go through, and like you said, after so many meetings, you forget which when we said what, you know, I think we need to somehow reset ourselves, grab everything from the bag, and try to fix all of it in one meeting. The one meeting will just be for minutes, because that's going to be one. And then once you do that, then you can move forward, because then if you have the minutes up forward, everybody can, well, this is what was happening, this is what was approved, and moving forward. This is what's going to happen in the next meeting. And then once that meeting comes out, approved, you know, correction approved, and then we're moving on to the next.
Right.
And then we have a system. Right now, we don't have a system, and I've been into meetings where they never provided minutes. And there's always chaos every month, because we don't know where everybody stands and what they said 2 months ago, 6 months ago, or a year ago. And so minutes are vital, because it gives you a road path on how to move forward, you know. And so I can only say that just the minutes alone, just to fix the minutes, because it's been so far back that it hasn't been approved, I think we're going to have to go, and we're going to have the public. That thing is going to be where the public who was in the minutes, because most of us, I was in the meeting, most of them, they're going to have to give their feedback and the state, and then they're going to have to come to some kind of consensus. If they say no, you know, if they're party to say no, that's not what happened, then whatever that was decided at that time, then we know where that stands and where we need to go forward on that particular issue. If everybody agreed to what happened, state, the public, and the members, they agreed to that, then that can stay and move forward. But somehow we need to
fix this.
Right. You said this and make the thing funnel for everybody.
Right. And to be quite honest, I want to get all these minutes approved.
Right.
like, for instance, in these minutes, we have the item, and then it refers to recording 4/13/2022 at 12:08. And so the two options we got is, well, we can go ahead and approve all the summary minutes without the recordings. I would not recommend that. The other thing we could do is actually ask the state is when the recordings will be posted online as promised, and that way we can review both the recordings and the minutes and approve it then. We could do it that way. But right now what we have are minutes that when you have an agenda item that refers to a time and there's no details. And because of that, it's like it's hard to approve these minutes because we don't have the recordings to refer back to see if what's recorded is accurate. So we can go on blind trust and just we can just approve them, or we can ask the state when do you think the recording will be ready online for us.
I think we've had this conversation way too many times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not even passing minutes where we don't even have meetings. So I think we need to really be honest with what
don't
we're doing.
Like, I mean, the thing
I know, but
is
we need
we
to be honest, though, because there's five minutes here that aren't passed. So if we're going to talk about what we're looking at.
But if there's no meetings, there's no minutes.
Right, so why aren't you passing them?
What is the
so that's
no
not our issue. We're trying to get you the minutes, and you won't pass them. So let us know what your issue is, and then we can move forward.
Okay, for September 14th, there's no meeting. So if there's no meeting, there's no minutes.
There are minutes, no meeting. So you pass it. We've had this conversation before.
I don't know why people are so combative. I mean, we just
I don't think that's combative.
Work here.
I don't think that's
I'm
combative.
I'm trying to find solutions, and all I'm getting is bombarded by the community, by the state. I mean, what the heck, man? Is it just me trying to figure this stuff out?
You know, the issue here is I see on this list 1, 2, 3, 4 meetings where there's no quorum and therefore no meeting. As far as I'm concerned, those minutes, if we need to go through the formality of recognizing that there are no meetings on those dates, then let's do it. Big deal.
Right.
It's the others that I'm more concerned with and that people are raising questions about. I'm not concerned with any of that. I was here. I know what went on. I feel comfortable with myself and what happened. But we've got to do something about passing these minutes.
Right.
Now, in the past, the minutes haven't been available to pass. Much less review. And that's been what the issue is.
Right. So, you know what, for Leslie, I'll put a motion so we can pass these meetings with no quorum and no meetings.
We pass September 14, no quorum, no meeting. March 8, no quorum, no meeting. July 12, 23, no meeting, no quorum, no meeting. August 9, 2023, no quorum, no meeting. No, we did have a meeting on September 13, so I'm just going to go with that one for now. So that's my motion.
It's been moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye. Oh, let me do a roll call vote. Ben.
Aye.
Chuck.
Aye.
Diane.
Aye.
Nanea.
Aye.
Ask you, Lynette. Oh, Papa. And I vote aye. So those meetings have passed. So now, I ask this question back to the state. June 8th, August 10th, April 2022, July 2022, October 12th, 2022, November 9th, December 14th. January 11th, February 8th, April 12th, May 10th, June 14th, July 12th, June 14th. When can we expect the recordings to be posted online so we can approve these minutes?
So I'll get back to you on that. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. I'll leave it with the state to handle.
Um,
So then my next question, right, we're having this discussion about when can you expect recordings. I've been sitting in meetings virtually for over a year. Your membership has changed, and you've been asking and making this request for over a year now.
Yes.
So the question begs that the arbitrary and capricious upload of the September audio, but now you have no written minutes for a meeting that you had quorum for and you called to order. So what I would like to say is I have serious concerns about the application of the Sunshine Law to the state and the way in which Borough Council members, right, because you'd start certainly feeling the tension. And what I'm going to acknowledge is, while that might be an inconvenience for some, this has very real ramifications for people like me and my kupuna, my lineal kupuna. And so this is why I feel very passionate about the administrative rules and the HRSs being followed. Because if it was followed, my family wouldn't suffer injury, because of what is done. So now my question is, again, I would want to understand, since you called the meeting to order, you had quorum, you took several of those agenda items before the incident occurred. And the incident occurred when I was asking about agenda items A and B, in which the response was, the AG said it shouldn't have been on the agenda. And then I asked some questions that never got answered. So I'm here again to ask those same questions regarding September 13, 2023. My question is, who is responsible for having added agenda item A on the July 2023 OIBC agenda and items A and B on the September 2023 OIBC agenda? Because what I can presume is that it would have also been on August's agenda, except that the meeting was canceled before the agenda was uploaded, like in the case of July 2023. So my question is, if it should not have been on the agenda, and it was on the agenda for at least 2 months, who is responsible for that? Who is agendizing items? Is it the council, or is it the state, or is it both of you? I'm just trying to understand process.
I'm going to refrain. Okay, it's the two agenda items she's speaking to is the contested case hearing. And so what has happened in past YBC meetings is the YBC got word that the contested case hearings were submitted, and the council wanted to clarify what its responsibilities are, what its exposure is, and so we had approached the Attorney General office to give us a synopsis and recommendations and to give the council advice. So that was the ask that we had of the Attorney General. And that is what the council had expected on that day. The council did not expect to be making a motion. And so I'm going to stop right there, and I am going to refrain from speaking about the contested case hearings again.
But can we be fair? It was not the state that put it on the agenda. So let's just be clear.
No,
let's be clear. The agenda is approved by the chair.
Okay, that item was put on the agenda months ago when the contested case hearing first came to our attention. And I asked that we sit down with the Attorney General to find out, and Kamanao summarized my thinking exactly. We just wanted to find out, okay, what does this mean in terms of the Borough Council? The ramifications or the intricacies of the contested case was not my concern. My concern was, are we going to have to be called as witnesses? You know, how does it impact the council? That's all it was. And I don't want to get into the closed meeting, but I will say the Attorney General came with a different thoughts on what we were asking for. What we heard was not what we were asking for. and I don't want to get into the details, but what we were asking for, since I was the one who initiated, was just a black and white explanation as to what is a contested case hearing. I didn't want to know about why, the wherefore, and all that kind of interest. You know, I didn't want to get down to the weeds of the case. That was not my intent. And Kamenao summarized it very well a second ago.
Excuse me, Deputy Attorney General is here. Danica, she's right over there. She's in person.
Thank you for coming.
Who is that?
The Deputy Attorney General.
Kamenao.
Okay. You know what? I am losing control of this meeting, is what's happening. And people are throwing things around, and I'm done with this. Yes, I want to take
a break.
But I want to go into agenda item 5A. And go in, for agenda item 5A, we'll go into executive session with the Attorney General.
Can you just read the language? The language of 5A?
Yeah.
There's a little phrase about going into executive session.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, can we make a motion and a second?
The government elected going into executive session pursuant to HR 6E 43.5, according to this rule 13325E. The chairperson, by concurrence of majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed, and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. Is there a motion to go into the second session?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We are in executive session.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. We can't.
Aloha, Kiko, we can hardly hear you. I do apologize, but we're going to be in executive session right now, and we'll see if we can better help you, okay?
Hello.
Okay. Hi, I'm Danica Swenson. Nice to meet you.
Okay, I'm
just
trying
to. Hi, nice to meet you. Hi, good to see you.
Good, how are you? I'm just trying to get some of them
to
be gone.
No, that's fine. So yeah, and I was on Zoom, but then I saw how things were unfolding and thought, maybe I'll just go in.
I can't hear anybody.
No problem. Actually, while they sort that out, I'll go to the bathroom.
I'm sorry.
This, I'm not sure. They might have to just...
Do you have a number?
You can do a breakout room.
Yeah, I do.
Breakout room?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't...
I know, I'm a travel person.
Wanting to
I know, right?
Say
this is
we might have to.
The state person, everyone.
You may have had to set it up before. I'm not an ex-member.
Actually, you're not long.
But she had cancer at the time.
Oh, shoot, I don't want to do anything.
And I realized that everything has to be done ahead of time.
We're in a great call.
To see everything.
Yeah, I think once you sign in, it will.
I'm going to ask the.
If you get disconnected, please call back or get back online.
I'm just letting
you know we're trying to mute everyone else but you too. So we have the IT here. If you do get disconnected, please join back in.
Because
there's two members here.
Oh, because I think it's like everything is muted, though. I don't think they can hear you.
He can't hear us?
What's going on?
You can hear us, right?
No. Your sound's off, Leslie. Because we're... Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Right back there. I didn't want to touch it.
So, you're disconnected. Please just get back on. We're trying to keep the both of you on. Oh, actually, I don't know where Lynette is, but if Lynette's back, Diane and Anaya, we're going to try and keep you on.
Yeah. Everyone's still
Lynette,
here.
I got a text. Lynette, she's not feeling good.
I
mean,
they might have a cell phone, but...
Would you two mind if I just call you and put you on speakerphone over here, or if you want to call us? If you have Kamanao's number, Chuck's number, you can call my number. We can have you on speakerphone.
I'll call Kamanao and then.
Yep.
Okay. And what about Diane?
You can't get us an executive session link.
Right now. Yeah, we're trying, but there's no option.
Oh, there's no option.
Well, yeah, we need because all the other people are here.
Do you have Diane's number?
Diane, can you call either my number or Chuck or Ben's number?
And what's that for?
So that you can be part of the executive session.
Yeah.
Maybe Ben?
Sure. You want me to call you, Diane?
Yeah, please.
Can I call them right now?
Hey, Leslie, it's Andrea with CSH. I know Matt and Hal are trying... Can you get in the meeting if you could let them in, please?
Okay, not just yet, but we'll let them in after executive session. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for letting me know, though. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Yeah. Aloha.
Okay. I would also recommend...
We have 19 participants to the Zoom meeting, so if we talk to Kamanao on the phone, they're going to be...
No, they will. Yes, I'm going to recommend that the cameras be turned off and the volume be removed in here, so... they should not be able to hear or see us.
And
thank you.
Can you call me? Because I don't have your number on my phone. I thought it was here, but it's not.
And Diane, so there's five of you coming on the off as well.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yep.
Diane, can you hear me?
Oh, no.
No, she cannot. Diane, please turn your camera off.
And
thank you so much.
And then,
yeah.
I don't think she can hear us anymore, but that's okay.
Diane, call me, Diane. Call me. I don't have your number.
Okay. So, we are offline right now. We can speak freely.
Diane needs to turn her camera off.
I think so.
Diane, please turn your camera off. Thank you.
I guess if she can't hear us, that's a good sign.
Well, I think she...
No, she
can
hear now. Because this is on.
Yeah,
now.
She can hear. Sorry, Diane.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Okay.
What about these other people?
They can't hear.
I know. I'm in a different room. They scare me.
I know, right? They're on
is
the
there
room.
Another room we can go in? Just in case.
This is Diane.
Because this seems very sensitive, and if
you
someone could hear us,
you could use my office.
Can they hear if you want to? Are you guys comfortable with that?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I'm just worried that somehow they're going
to
hear us, and then it's going
to
blow up, you know,
into
something.
Into something unnecessary.
Yes.
I think also Chandra's coming in.
Too.
Be trained by you or something?
Yeah. So next week I thought, yeah.
That too. Wow.
Thank you.
how she's doing it.
Or if, is it here?
No, because she's the host on this computer.
Oh, maybe she took the computer that they're using to fight me.
So, yeah, so the option for breakout room is not here. Okay, we're back.
Are we good, Yangi? Can we invite
yes.
people back
yes.
in? Okay.
Yes. I'll turn the cameras back on.
Okay.
Okay. It's still the mics are still muted though. They're still muted.
Oh, okay. I'll just turn
off. They're on now. Yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you so much. She's coming to all our get-togethers.
No, oh, I said I'm not coming
every day. Don't speak so soon.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate your help.
Yeah, they can't hear.
I think that's how it.
That's all you did. I know not unmuted. They should, yeah. They're all muted.
Call in on your the Zoom.
All right, we can hear you guys.
Can we hear us now?
Testing audio. Diane, let me ask. Can you guys speak really quick?
No,
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you.
It was just the volume.
No, it was just
Leslie, right. Can you check the waiting room to see if anybody's waiting to get in?
Yes.
Hello, Kamana Olga, this is Chase. Auntie Pekahili is asking if you guys have a phone number she can call in on. I don't think she can download Zoom right now. Her reception is kind of bad, as we can all tell. And then she also wanted to see if Leslie could add Kara back into the meeting. She got booted.
Kara LeBank? I see her. She's just connected.
Yes, she is. There's no one waiting. Oh, okay.
She's asking for it. I don't think there's a phone number. Mm-hmm.
Should be on here.
I think there's a way to call in with a Zoom number.
Yeah.
Oh, there is.
There's no one waiting. There hasn't been anyone waiting.
Okay.
But the phone number, there is no number.
There's no Zoom? Oh. Okay, there's no Zoom link number.
I mean, she can call my phone or anyone's phone, and we can put it on speaker if she needs to testify or something.
Chase, can you hear me? So
I can, yes.
Yeah, the Zoom link doesn't have a phone number for her to call.
Okay. I think she would be all right calling Leslie, if that's okay with you.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
Does she have your number, by chance?
I think so. Does she? Can you ask her if she has my number?
Okay.
If not,
we're
going
to get started with the meeting. We thank you all for your patience. We just got out of a executive session with the Attorney General, and in this executive session we spoke regarding Hawaii Administrative Rule 13335, which is the recognition of lineal and cultural descendants. Over the past 30 years, the Oahu Burial Council has requested that for cultural descendancy recognition, that people come before this body, alo ahe alo, eye to eye, to address the council and to see why we would like to become a cultural descendant. And there has been times in which recognition has been deferred for not showing up to these meetings. Following our discussion with the Attorney General, sorry, I've taken notes all over my paper. It is no longer a requirement for lineal cultural descendancy recognitions to be done in person in front of the Oahu Island Burial Council. We The applications that you submit goes to SHPD. SHPD will review those applications and submit their recommendations to like, the Huahua Editorial Council. The OIBC does request, though, that there be something in like a form written or some statement that should be included if, as part of the application to convey your mana'o to the council of your desire and your passion for culture descendancy recognition. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
No. Sorry, this is, I'm so sorry to interrupt. This is just the instructions on how for someone to call in if you want to message that one guy about it. Sorry.
We actually have to pass that through through our branch chief and administrator. You know how they're going to give their personal intent or whatever they're going to be doing. It has to go through SHPD, and then we'll try and do it for next month.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Mama-na-o?
Yes.
Excuse me. I just got a text back from Hale Aloha Leal, who wrote the burial laws regarding this matter. Is it okay if I read it?
Yes.
Okay, I wrote him, I said, I was learning his thoughts on the matter. The AG says the applicants do not need to testify, to be present to testify. And basically, ORBC goes along with Shippy's recommendations. Is this correct? And he writes back. Yes, it is. Having applicants for lineal or cultural descendants present at a meeting is a requirement the OIBC added as part of their consideration of a claim. It is a practice, not a rule.
I'm not going to give a response. I've given you guys my legal advice.
And caveat this by saying that the AG is doing more research on it. Can I say that?
Yeah.
That the AG is conducting more research into this matter. And we will hopefully have something more definitive in writing. Can I say that?
Yes. Yeah, here, I can say a few words.
Okay.
So this is Annika Swenson, Deputy Attorney General. I'm going to be working with the Oahu Island Burial Council and maybe the other island burial councils as well so that there's uniformity in these practices and procedures, as well as SHPD, of course. And I'm going to consult with my big boss, the Attorney General, on writing a formal opinion letter to the burial councils on this issue. As you know, this seems to be a departure from practice of the burial councils, but that is what the black letter of the law says. So yes, we're going to work on that. We're also going to work on potential things involving Chapter 92 and Chapter 91 relating to maybe more rulemaking, you know, where in public testimony, you know, that's included in a rulemaking process to maybe address some things that were meant to be included in the black letter of the law but maybe didn't quite make it there. So,
You are going to be conferring with Hale Aloha Ayao?
No, I did not say that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because he wrote the burial laws.
I am very familiar with Mr. Hale Aloha Ayao, but thank you.
Yeah, and it hasn't been a practice that we have been not allowing. It's been a practice that we have been asking for personal testimony. It has been a practice for over 10 years.
Yeah, for 30 years.
Okay.
Another note from the Attorney General in our executive session is that for lineal and cultural descendancy recognitions, there is going to be one application per person. So no longer can we an application be for an ohana. So each individual will need to submit a separate application from today forward. So, did I state that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Council members, did I miss anything?
Well, I'd just like to make one quick observation. Under item 5Y in the agenda, we talked about an update on the Office of OHA's Burial Site Working Group's work they've been doing for the last 2 years. I know it's too late. This is a kind of issue that would be good if they would include in their report. It's probably too late, but I just throw it out there. Thanks.
I had a question regarding your first comment when it was, that wouldn't fill out an application that you would need to provide commentary or at least a statement as to the responsibility involved. Now, I don't recall, but is HighQuest back up? And will there be a window that we'll be able to apply, or do we have to attach it separately?
Good point.
So we haven't approved it yet, so we'll get on it. So all applications are coming through the email to myself. I'm the only one that does it, and not in HighQuest. So what I do is I turn it around, and I put it in HighQuest for you.
Now, currently, the recent applications I put in was not off of HighQuest. I had to submit it from a blank application, so that's easy to just attach it.
Right.
But when we do get HighQuest, if we get HighQuest back up, I just want to make sure that we provide a window that those comments that you're asking for
And we're trying to work on that as well through HighQuest. So
and just to clarify, it's not as of this moment you must provide some sort of written statement to that effect with an application. It's something that the Borough Council has indicated that they want as part of the application and that Shifty is going to look at amending the application to include that thing.
Maybe we should take time.
Right.
Yeah, and so it might be, I haven't quite figured out yet if it's something Shifty can do administratively without triggering HRS Chapter 91, or if we have to do actual rulemaking through Chapter 91 to add that to the application. Mm-hmm. So it will be public information on how to submit such a statement when it.
Because some of those comments are going to be pretty redundant, you know, because we're applicants for many projects.
Yes.
And so that's something I'm sure you'll be considering.
Yes, of course.
Tika Healy, I see you have your hand up.
Sorry.
Yes. Regarding that clarification.
Tika Healy, your audio is broken up.
So
Tika Healy, mute yourself on the computer and use the phone.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Mahalo, Kamanao. Okay, so I just wanted to get clarification on what was just stated. So as of today, we are not required to be present in order to be recognized until the Attorney General further information about providing written information by the applicant and confirms whether the applicant needs to be in attendance. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, in consultation with the Attorney General, that's correct.
Sir, I understand what you said, Kamanao, that everyone that would like to be recognized as a lineal and cultural descendant must have an individual application submitted to Shifty. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and then I want to also test my understanding, if you can ask Leslie, that all applications go to Leslie to be vetted by Shifty. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, is there anyone else from Shifty that can has the authorization to be vetting the applications for Shifty?
So I don't know if this is in my area to even discuss, but if a family would want Regina Hilo, which is one family, then that would be their request, and it would go towards our branch chief, who would have to approve it, and then that would be the case, but she would still have to follow the process. So, yeah.
Okay, mahalo nui for the opportunity to ask my question.
Thank you. I have also one follow-up question for application per person. I'm just thinking about this realistically. If we're going to jump from, like, saying that, like, 20 people all from the same family, for our recommendation letters, is it also one recommendation per person?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. So, okay.
And that's what takes so long. Just so you guys know.
I just have a clarifying question. So presumably one application per person unless you're representing a minor child. Only one adult has legal authority for that.
To be determined. Not sure. I can't answer that question right now. I'm sorry.
Genealogy not going to change whether you're 6 months old or 60 years old, right? So it is like be clear about that. Because my minor child has been present for every application and reburial.
Right. How you do like an application for like a field trip or something,
right, like
the parent would consent and sign off of it.
Mr. Chair, maybe what I could recommend is that you write something down to the other bank, give it to her so she can work on it.
Okay.
That's
good.
And copy to
her. Okay, well that's it. We got a 12-page agenda here. Let's just jump right into it. I think you can, but I don't know. All pages, yeah. So, yes.
The minutes segment got kind of cut short to jump to a different item.
Right.
But I wasn't done testifying for the minutes section. I just had one more.
Okay.
Real brief. My question is just, and I'm going to start off offering. What is the Hawaii review statute by which lineal descendancy can be granted to unidentified human beings, as was the case for a recognition that was passed January 11, 2023? That's also minutes that never get approved yet, so I just want to state that for the record. And then if the AG has any advice since she's in the room, if she can clarify that for my family.
January 2023. Lineal descendancy recognition to unidentified human beings.
Lineal, that is correct.
And that's why it's a draft. It's in draft. I mean, we're past 5 minutes. This is ridiculous already.
Well, I'll just answer your question. I can't give any legal advice to anyone other than the Oahu Burial Council today and SHPD. However, I will tell you that Hawaii Administrative Rule 13300-35 is recognition of lineal and cultural descendants to skeletal remains. I believe when you mean unidentified, you mean that we don't know exactly who that person was, not whether or not it's Native Hawaiian or someone else, right?
No, that the person who's applied has lineal recognition whereby they can prove that they're genealogically connected either lineal or collateral to unidentified human remains, which means we don't know who the person is. So how do you lawfully connect yourself as being linearly or collaterally recognized if you don't know the identity of the human remains? This is one case that Kauai Hawaiian pushed plenty.
I see. That is a very complex question. I can't answer that right now, but it is something I'll look into and report back to the Oahu Burial Council.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to check on this as well. Okay, first on the agenda, we have cultural descendancy recognition for Kara Rabang to unidentified human skeletal remains at the park at Ward Village Block 8 project located at 333 Ward Avenue, Mokopona, Island of Oahu, PNK 123002, 114, 115, and 116. Information discussion determination of the applicant's descendancy recognition application to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the park. Location. I'll read the memo in entirety one time, and then for the rest, I'll just go right to the summary, the recommendation from SHPD. So, for the purpose of establishing and substantiating a cultural descendant claim to unidentified human skeletal remains located at the above locations, the named individual has submitted her application and genealogical information to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13335. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence that they have a genealogical connection to an ancestor who once resided, or is buried, or both in the Ahupua'a of Waikiki, An ancestry is defined as one from whom a person is descended and who is usually more remote in the line of descendant than a grandparent. In this case, the applicant has shown through family genealogy and oral history a genealogical connection to an ancestor who once resided in Yahupua of Waikiki. In addition, the applicant was previously recognized by the OIBC as a descendant of an ancestor who once lived in the Ahupua'a of Waikiki. Pursuant to the above administrative rules, SHPD recommends that the OIBC recognize Carol Fabang as a cultured descendant to the above unidentified human skeletal remains. Carol, are you online?
Hi, I'm online.
Aloha, Carol. I just read the recommendation from the State Historic Preservation Division. Do you have anything you want to add to this memo?
No. I would just like to say that my family's been a part of this Juliana since 2000, and I followed the teachings of my grand aunt, Paulette Kalekini, and my grandmother, Pahili Norman, and my auntie, Keala Norman, and I'm attending this meeting to seek the council's recognition so I can continue to malama imit kupuna with my ohana.
Council members, any questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
I make a motion that we accept item number B, the recognition of Clara Babang to the Park and Whatever New Block H project.
Okay. Okay, move. There a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Going to do a roll call vote each time. So, Ben?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Diane?
Aye.
Nanea?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. I'll pass. Mahalo Nui, Kara, you've been recognized for the Park at Ward Village, Block H. Moving to agenda item C, Cultural Descendancy Recognition for Kara Rabang to Unidentified Human Skeletal Remains at 1701 Alawai Boulevard Project, Honolulu, Ahupua'a, from the District, Island of Oahu, TMK 126-013-017. To summarize, pursuant to the Hawaii Administrative Rules, SHPD recommends that the OIBC recognize Kara Rabang as a cultural descendant to the above unidentified human skeletal remains. Kara, anything to add for this request for recognition?
Nothing to add.
Mahalo. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we accept item number B, recognition of Kara Rabang to the 17-101 project as a
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Let's see. Diane?
Aye.
Nanea?
Aye.
Ben?
Aye.
Sure.
Aye.
Aye as well. Mahalo, Kara. Let's see. Item D, Cultural Descendancy Recognition for Chase Kiri'ipa'akaua to Unidentified Human Skeletal Remains at 1701 Alawai Boulevard Project, Honolulu, Ahupua'a, on the District Island of Oahu, CMK 126013017. Pursuant to the above administrative rules, SHPD recommends that Oahu Island Burial Council recognize Chase Kiri'ipa'akaua as a cultural descendant to the above unidentified human skeletal remains. Chase, are you there?
I thought I saw his name up there earlier.
Yeah, he's the Zoom user.
There he is.
Yep, call him. I'm here. All
right. So we just read the recommendation from SHPD. Is there anything you wanted to add to your that you wanted to state to the council?
Just that, like my cousin, I've been a part of my Ohana Kuleana since 2000. Was taught by my grand auntie Paulette and my grandmother Kahili, and now also with my mother Keala. Mahalo to you guys for considering me for recognition.
Mahalo. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we accept item number D, culture residency for Chase Kiri'i Pa'akua at the 1701 Alawai Boulevard project.
Is there a second?
Okay. Aye.
What I'll do here is, with the council's permission, I'm going to do Now, you know what? Let's just stick with it.
Can
Ben?
Can we do? Okay. Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
I vote aye. Diane?
Aye.
Nanea?
Aye.
Okay. You have a hand.
Mahalo,
okay. Keiko Healy is raising her hand. Keiko Healy is raising her hand. Or does she mean to? Keiko Healy?
Leslie, you know what? Can I save my comments after Chase and Keiko Milani is ready?
Okay, sure.
Okay, next is cultural descendancy recognition for Chase Kilipa'akawa to unidentified human skeletal remains at the park at the Ward Village Block 8 project located at 333 Ward Avenue, Kona District, Island of Oahu. TMK 123002, 114, 115, and 116. And the recommendation is pursuant to the above all administrative rules, SHPD recommends that the ORDC recognize Chase Kilipa'akawa as cultural descendant on the above unidentified human skeletal remains. Chase, is there anything else you want to add to this, the memo from SHPD?
Nothing to add, no.
Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we accept item number E, Chase Kili'ipa'akaua, as a cultural descendancy of the Parkhead Ward Village, Block Beach.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Let's take a roll call vote again. Diane?
Aye.
Nanea?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Ben?
Aye.
And I say aye. Okay, congratulations, Chase. Moving on to item F, cultural descendancy recognition for Chase Kilipa'akawa to unidentified human skeletal remains at the Aliyah Project located at 888 Alamoana Boulevard, Kona District, Island of Oahu, TMK 121056, 14, 15, and 16. And the recommendation pursuant to the above, for administrative rules, SHPD recommends that the ORDC recognize Chase Kilipa'akawa as a cultural descendant to the above unidentified human skeletal remains. Any other comments you want to add to this, Chase?
Nothing to add, Mahalo.
Mahalo. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we accept item number F for Chase Kilipa'akawa as a cultural descendancy of the Aliyah Project located at 888 Alamoana Boulevard.
Mahalo. Is there a second?
Second.
Take a vote, Ben?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
I vote aye. Diane?
Aye.
And Nanea?
Aye.
Mahalo nui. Moving on to item G, cultural descendancy recognition for Stephanie. I have to put in the lines here. For Stephanie Kili'ilumilani Arakaki to unidentified human skeletal remains at the park at Ward Village, Block 8 Project, located at 333 Ward Avenue, Kona District, Island of Oahu, TMK 123002, 114, 115, and 116. And the recommendation from SHPD is, pursuant to the above all administrative rules, SHPD recommends the OIBC recognize Stephanie Kili'ilumilani Arakaki as a cultural descendant to the above unidentified human skeletal remains. Is Stephanie here?
She's online.
Huh?
There she is.
Hello, Stephanie. You read the recommendation by SHPD. Is there anything you want to add to the recommendation?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, as my niece mentioned, Carol, continuing our cultural and kuleana, if you will, which was taught by my auntie, Kanoi, as well as Kekahili, as well as my cousin Keala and my other cousin Kekahili. It is my kuleana, and I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time out to get us recognized here.
Mahalo, Stephanie. Is there a motion?
I have a motion to accept item G, Stephanie Kili'ilumilani Arakaki, as a cultural descendant of the Parkhead Ward Village, Block 8.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Ben?
Aye.
I say aye. Chuck?
Aye.
Diane?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay. I'll roll that. Motion has passed. Agenda item H, cultural disability recognition for Stephanie Kili'ilu Milani Arakaki to unidentified human shelter named at the Aliyah Project located at 888 Alamoana Boulevard, Kona District, Island of Oahu. TNK 121056, 14, 15, and 16. The recommendation from SHPD is pursuant to the above what administrative wrote, SHPD recommends that the OIBC recognize Stephanie Kili'ilu Milani Arakaki as a cultural descendant to the above unidentified human skeletal remains. Anything more to add, Stephanie, to the SHPD's recommendation?
Mahalo.
Nothing
to add.
Okay,
bye. Is there a motion that we accept item number H for Stephanie Kili'ilu Milani Arakaki to be recognized as a cultural descendant of the Aliyah Project located at 888 Alamoana Boulevard?
Mahalo, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, if they're moved and seconded, then?
Aye.
I say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Taya?
Aye.
And then, yeah. It has moved and passed. Moving on to agenda item I, cultural disability recognition for Kikama Makua.
Oh, okay. She has her hand raised. She wanted to do the cumulative testimony. Okay. Go ahead, Kika.
Yes, mahalo. I did have a comment earlier with regards to the applicants. Or applications. And I know we were told once, many times actually before, that we couldn't apply for all of our ohana. And when it came to the minors of my ohana, we were expected to send birth certificates for each minor, and the parent was required to sign the application. So I want to know if that is a requirement that everyone should be following.
That's not a requirement for the council, SAP. So they respond?
It's just internal.
Internal?
Can we call you? Can we call her?
Yeah.
But it's Regina, so she's not here to... Or is she? No. So I can't answer.
Is the AG present?
The AG is here. The deputy AG.
As far as I'm aware, there's no legal requirement for that, but that is something I am going to be looking into and informing the burial council and shifting on soon.
Thank you.
I appreciate that because I think you need to verify who the parent is in order for an adult to sign who are minor.
Okay. Thank you.
Mahalo.
Moving on to agenda item I, cultural disability recognition for Kikama Makua. I don't need to put your...
Here, no worries. Here, go ahead.
Akai Ilimo Kaliulani Mahor Kaluhi Kateles Unidentified Human Skills. Also remains at 1701 Alawai Boulevard Project, Honolulu, Alpha Alpha District, Island of Oahu, TNK 013-017. The recommendation from SHPD. Therefore, the State Historic Preservation Division recommends that the OIDC recognize Kikama Makua Akai Ilihou Kaleilani Kalamai Kamahodi Ikateres to Ili Kupuna located at 1701 Alamoana, Honolulu, Honolulu District, Oahu. Do you have anything you wish to add to the recommendation?
Yeah, I first want to mahalo you in particular, Kamahou. You were extremely, extremely diligent in following up on my emails regarding getting my application onto the actual agenda. I just had a question.
Yep.
After you had requested multiple times for it to be on the agenda and it was left off for 3 months, were you ever told the specific reason as to why my descendancy applications for this site and all the next three agenda items. Was there ever a reason given to you as to why it was not included after you specifically requested?
No. No.
Is this a concern that I should be worried about moving forward regarding my descendancy applications?
Well, like, when I hear about these descendancy applications, it's usually when it's recommended by SAPD and placed onto the agenda. So all the internal application process, I don't know about.
No, yeah, totally. But I had already received a recommendation in August, and it's only being put on the agenda for this month, which is now November. And there are a number of Ibi Kupuna matters that I had a legal right to be consulted on had I been granted cultural descendancy to these projects. And so I want someone to give me a little reassurance that this isn't going to be an issue that I'm going to have to continue to face, that I'd have to expect to wait 4 to 5 months after being granted a recommendation from Shifty.
Right. You definitely do not have any issues with me. In fact, I want to move as many cultural and legal descendants forward onto the agenda as quick as possible. So I guess I would have to yield to SCPD. Is this something that
Well, I don't even know you, so I don't have an issue with you.
No worries.
And you've always been nice to me, so there's no issue.
Okay.
What happened was you went through Regina Hilo, and she didn't communicate with me. So this is what we told her internally. You need to have an address, and you just need to have something on your application. There's nothing.
Okay.
And that's what we told her. So all the applications are empty. That means they're incomplete. And I'm not looking at the names. I'm just looking at the application. I process everything that passes. Everything that doesn't, this was the hiccup, and I sent it back to her.
Okay.
So she needed, if that was the situation where you trusted her only, that would have been for her to tell you.
Okay.
And it never came back to me. So I see this in emails, and I'm not going to respond because you used her for the process.
Okay.
But if you say, or if you give it to me, in the future, if that's what you want, you guys are already recognized. So there's no reason for me not to pass you, right?
Right. Okay, no, I really
so
really
this would have been passed. This would have been 4 months ago.
Okay.
If I did it. But they're all like that, right?
I appreciate it. Yeah, if I had gotten some sort of clarification from somebody from Chifty, then I totally would have understood.
And sorry she didn't do that. Yeah, sorry she didn't do that. She doesn't talk to me, so.
No, I appreciate the communication now, Mahalo, the way I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And just regarding the actual application, I'm sure everybody in this room is quite familiar with me and my ohana. I've been doing this since I was in eighth grade, and I'm now in my second year of my master's, so I've gone around the block a few times. So I mahalo all of you folks for your patience, and mahalo, you know, for the opportunity to advocate on behalf of our kopuna.
Mahalo.
What's your master's degree in?
Wine studies.
Hello.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept item number I for Keka Mama Kua Aka Iliho Kalilani Kamuhali'i Sisaris as a culturally dependent recognized individual for the 1701 Awawai Boulevard project.
Is there a move? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a move then second? Diane?
Aye.
Danielle?
Aye.
Okay. Chuck?
Aye.
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 Let's see.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Council, quick question. So, JKL, they're for different projects, but the same individual. Mm-hmm. Is it okay for us to, like, recognize?
Yes. As long as you make it clear which agenda items you are moving on as a group, you can move on them as a group.
Okay. Let's see. For item J, cultural descendancy recognition for Kekama Makua Aka'i Liho Kalelani Kamahuali Kateres to unidentified human skeletal remains at the Ala Moana Boulevard Power Project, Honolulu, Alapua'a, from the District Island of Oahu, TMK 126009004005006. Item K, cultural descendancy recognition for Kekama Makua Aka'i Liho Kalilani Kamali Kateras to unidentified human skeletal remains at the Blaisdell Center Redevelopment Parking Area and Trash Compactor Facility Improvement Projects, Kona District, Island of Oahu, DMK 123008 001, 002, 003. Item L, cultural decency recognition for Kikama Makwa, Ka'ili Ho, Clay Lani, Holi, Ikateres to unidentified human skeletal remains at the park at Ward Village Project, Block H Project. Honolulu Alpa'a, Kona District, Island of Oahu, TNK 123, 002, 114, 115, 116. Item M, cultural decency recognition for Kikama
That might be my sister. Our name start off the same.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You just stop it up.
No worries.
Yeah.
Mine only has four total, including the one that you just
asked. Okay. Gotcha. And so the recommendation from SHPD for all three is, therefore, the SHPD recommends that the OIBC recognize the Kama Makua, Aka'ili Ho, Kaleilani Kamaoli, Kateras as a cultural descendant. Before going for the vote, is there anything else you want to add?
No, nothing else, Mahalo.
Nothing else, okay. Mahalo, is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept items J, K, and L on page 6 of Kikama Makoaaka Iliho Kilelani Kamohali'i Cesaris as a cultural descendancy we recognize in the projects of the Alamoana Boulevard Project, Power Project, of the Blaisdell Center Redevelopment Parking Area and Trash Compacting Project, and at the Park at Ward Village Project Block H.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Let's see.
Aye.
Diane?
Aye.
And Linnea?
Aye.
Just a quick question. Item Q, is that the same individual as M and M?
Yeah.
That
each of us have four, so let me double check.
Q is R.
Yeah, it just kind of skips over to my mom and then it goes back to her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's this one over here.
So she has three.
Yeah,
she has
four. Q and R.
Okay.
So I'm just going to do cultural descendancy recognition for Kikama Keua Kau'i Ikuha'oi Kala'i Kalehua Hie'ie Mwani Ikateres Unidentified Human Skeletal Remains at Alamoana Boulevard, Tower Project, Hilton Hawaiian Village, Kona District, Island of Oahu, TMK 126, 009, 204, 006. Cultural descendancy recognition for Kikama Keiwa Kau'i I Kuha'o I Kala'i Kalehua Hiehi Kamaholi Kacharis Unidentified Human Skeletal Remains at the Park at Ward Village, Kona District, Island of Oahu, TMK 123, 002, 114, 115, 116. Item Q, we'll get back to OMP in a second. Cultural descendancy recognition for Kikama Kewa Kau'i Kuha'oi Kala'i Kalehua Hiehie Kamahali Kateres Unidentified Human Skeletal Remains at 1701 Alamoana Boulevard, Kona District, Island of Oahu, TNK 126-013-017. Item R, cultural descendancy recognition for Kikama Keua Kau'i Kuha'oi Kala'i Kalehua Hi'i Kamahali Kateres Unidentified Human Skeletal Remains at the Blaisdell Center Redevelopment Parking Area and Trash Compact Facilities Improvement Project for the District Island of Oahu, TNT 123-008-001-002-003. Taking a look at the recommendations from SHPD for these items. Therefore, the SHPD recommends that the OIBC recognize Kikama Keua Kau'i Kuha'oi Kala'i Kalehua Yehi Kamahali Kateres as a cultural descendant to Ibe Kupuna located in this Ahupua. So, Kikama, anything you would like to add to the recommendation from SHPD? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept items number M, N on page 7
item number Q on page 8.
Can you say all the project names? Say all the project names.
9.
Just say the projects.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then okay, so I'm gonna do it right now. So M is on project number Alamoana Boulevard project, power project, Hilton Hawaiian Village. On M, on N would be for the park and Ward Village. And let's see, even Q, which is the 1701 Alamoana Boulevard project for cultural descendancy, and R for the Waysdale Center redevelopment parking area and trash compact projects. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
If they're both in second day. Diane.
I'm sorry. So, in all of that, I was trying to go through as many as I could before I forget something, and I forgot to mention the name. So I'm going to put the name now, which included to all the previous identified projects.
Yeah. Taya?
Aye.
Namea?
Aye.
Ben?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
I vote aye. Apologies again. I think every time we said your name, we said it a little bit
different. Right. Sorry about that. Never mind.
Okay. Item O, cultural descendancy recognition for Brandy Kaligua from Oli Cateres and Kohano. For Brandy, I think we ran into the first one. Where it's cultural descendancy recognition for Brandy Kaligua from Oli Cateres and Ohana. So we have to strike off the and Ohana. To unidentified human skeletal remains at the Park and Ward Village for the district island of Wabuki and K123-002-114-115-116. Item B, P, cultural descendancy recognition for Brandy Kaligua Kamoli Kateres for unidentified human skeletal remains at Alamoana Boulevard Tower Project, Hilton Hawaiian Village, for the district island of Wabuki, TMK 126-009-004-005-006. Item X, cultural descendancy recognition for Brandy Kaligua Kamoli Kateres to unidentified human skeletal remains at the Blaisdell Center redevelopment parking area and trash compacted facility improvement projects. Public District, Island of Oahu, TMK 133-008-001-002-003. Item T, cultural descendancy recognition for Brandy, Kaligua, Kamoli, Cateres, and Ohana. Cultural descendancy recognition for Brandy, Kaligua, Kamoli, Cateres. So unidentified human skeletal remains at 1701 Alamoana Boulevard, Quarter District, Island of Oahu, TMK 126-013-017. And the recommendations from SHPD is, therefore, SHPD recommends that the OIDC recognize Brandy Kalibo Kamotopo Ali'i Kateres as the cultural descendant to Iwi Kupuna in the Ahupua'a of Honolulu.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept this as item number O. Brandy Kalihua Kamohali'i Ciceris as a cultural descendancy recognition for the Park Avenue Ward Village for the district. The Alamoana Boulevard Power Project, which is in Village. Let's see.
Yes.
Maybe. The Blaisdell Center Redevelopment Parking Area and Trash Compactor Project. And also the 1701 Alamoana Boulevard Corner District Project.
Oh, Yeah, come on. I forgot to ask you before you do. Is there any comments that you would like to make on top of the recommendation?
Certainly. So, the Aunt Ohana, I would appreciate if her, if you can, to Aunt Ohana, that her name be included, because now we just came across the question that I addressed about my minor child, who is the full biological sibling of these two sitting here, who's currently in school right now. So, she cannot apply on her own, as she has no legal rights to herself. And I am her legal parent and guardian.
I would defer to you guys on that one. Also, I would look at what the recommendation from Shifty says and if the name is included. Or you can accept an oral amendment right now based on representation.
You're asking just for your child?
Correct. My little one that used to come in here, the small baby, she's sick right now.
Is she missing on that that request?
Okay, and what is her name?
It's
her name is
I'd like to offer amendment to your
I think I put it on there. Did I put it on the recommendation?
It's on the recommendation letter.
But that's for the Ohana.
No, but the daughter's name is on there, right?
Huh?
The daughter's name is on there.
Okay.
On top of here.
Yeah, so it's okay. So you don't have to.
Okay.
Just for clarification. Because the system, no one place where you can put more than one name, and she's my biological minor child in the same way I applied for them since they was little. How are we supposed to manage that, or is that going to be a change in form internal systems thing? Because if the issue is reading, if it's a gender as my name and Ohana Lewin lists at the bottom, if that's the issue, or is it, or does it need to read my name and her name? Like, I just like to understand what is the expectation. So I can do the application correctly, and you folks can say it.
I can say, I can tell you Shifty's side. If you put her name as the name to be on the agenda, then all you have to do is say you're the parent.
Right.
You have to write that in the email,
okay,
and just say that. And then her name moves forward without your name attached to it. If you want your name also to be afforded determination, then you have your own application.
And that's the only way that that can be done. Because I'm a little concerned about separating my minor daughter's name from mine.
Right.
In any legal document existing.
And in HICRIS, then I connect them together.
Okay.
So I put them on the same project.
Right. Mr. Chairman, you might have to buy that paper so I can write the name. Which name is that?
Right.
Okay. Come on.
Good luck.
Okay.
And is that okay, Daka? That's what we've been doing.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would like to add the name of Kahua, Kaoke, Kama'a, Kawai, Kamana, Oka, Opu, Ulehua, Kamu, Aligi, Ciceris, to the above mentioned items of that were listed prior.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And let's see.
Aye.
Diane?
I don't really understand what's going on here.
We've just made a motion for four projects to include the names of Brandy and her daughter.
So, can you change the agenda like that?
Well, her daughter, it's all on the agenda. It's on the agenda already.
Yeah.
As a Ohana?
Yeah. And since she's a minor, I personally have no problem with that.
Is that all okay within everything that we've been discussing? I mean, I hate for this to come back again. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes. No, I understand, but she's
right.
But you have advisory from the deputy that says
she's
it's
a minor,
yours.
So it's a little different.
Right.
Yeah.
And so until I can complete that legal research, I'm going to defer to the Borough Council on whether or not they're comfortable making that determination.
And I am very comfortable with that.
Yeah, very well.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Aye.
So how would you like that to be read in the minutes?
Okay. To be included all together.
Brandy, so one name and
name,
the other.
Name.
Brandy and the daughter.
What do you call it? Under each child.
Okay. So there was a motion and then there was a motion to amend.
Yeah. And
okay, let's just be safe here. For the larger motion for the culturally sensitive recognition, is there a second?
Second.
Is there a motion for
his motion.
Now let me make the motion.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a shortcut because I have a hard time with names too.
Go for it.
I move that four projects for identified under Brandy Sarah's name, which include item 8, Blaisdell Center redevelopment parking lot, Hilton Hawaiian Village, Ward Village, Park of Ward Village, that's 3, and the fourth one was at 1701 Alamoana Boulevard.
Okay. Got it. Been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Nanea.
Aye.
Diane.
Aye.
Ben.
Aye.
I vote aye. Chuck.
Aye. And just for clarification, we all understand on the board that this motion is to cover Brandy and her daughter, whose name is, again, what's the short name for it?
Come on up.
Right. Thank you, Brandy.
Okay. Now we are on item U, lineal descendancy recognition for Gregory Kamali Jr. to Edwards.
No, we're going to not do those two, right, until next month. So that they can have the opportunity to do the family as an entity, is that right?
So now I have a clarifying question, because we are operating under the presumption that she got a common person, my sister, so my clarifying question is, that's no longer going to be required, but you still got to log on Zoom? Like, is it either in person or on Zoom, but present in the meeting in some capacity?
For culture and lineal
for anything on your agenda is fine.
Like, well, the direction that we got today in the executive session, that there'll be more research that needs to be done. We need to get the decision in writing. But to be present for lineal cultural descent, the decision will no longer be required.
So then my question is, she's not present, right? Because she's at work, and that's why they're both not, and they want to come only one time for all of their agenda items, the pending items. So if they don't need to be present, then can the item be taken, or because she asked for it to be deferred based on the presumption that she had to be there?
She asked for it to be. I'm sorry, I just got off the airplane.
Yeah,
I haven't caught up in any of my emails.
Yeah, because I told her she had to come. And so you gotta come in.
Go forward, I believe, with this item.
Okay. I have the recommendations from SCPD to that and go off of.
Let's act on it.
Mm-hmm. Lineal descendancy recognition for Gregory Kamali Jr. That's the first time I'm not catching up on my emails. Never mind. The Edward Kalulo Nana Parker White Barberry in the Maui Ava Plot, Lot 24 within the Pai Ha'o Church Multipurpose Center. Project test excavation in Island 3, documented as burial number 404 with an MNI of 3 from the district island of Oahu, TMK 121-032-017. These are lineal descendancy recognition, so I'll be reading the entire memo in its entirety once and then summarizing it for the agenda item. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal descendant claim to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Edward Kaululanana Parker Waipa, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, for assessment and verification pursuant to for administrative rules 13335. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. In this case, the applicant has submitted information genealogically connecting themselves to Edward Kauloanana Parker White Pa. There is genealogical information here that I will not read. But, yes. There is additional information here that does not pertain to the recommendation. I mean, it's important for us to know, but I will not read. I will read the recommendation at this point. The SHPD recommends the OIBC appoint the applicant listed below lineal descent recognition to the Ilikupuna of Edward Kauloanana Parker Waipa, Gregory Kamahoa Lee Jr.
So they recommend approval.
I recommend approval.
I make a motion, Mr. Chair, that we accept item number U, Gregory Kamahoa Jr., lineal descendancy recognition to Edward Kauloanana Parker Waipa, buried at the Maliaba plot, lot number 24, at Kauai Ha'o Multipurpose Center.
Been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Ben?
Aye.
I say aye. Chuck?
Aye.
Manea?
Aye.
And Diane?
Aye.
Mahalo. We're moving on to item D, lineal descendancy recognition for Olana Ku'upua Pualehua Kamoali'i to Edward Kauloanana Parker by Bob buried at the Maoli Awa plot, lot 24, within the Kwaiha'o Turnt Multipurpose Center Project Test Excavation in Island 3, documented at burial number 1404, with an MNI of 3 from the district island of Oahu Timke. 121-032-017. Let me read this really quick. Okay. In this particular recognition, it does list three under individuals in the recommendation memo.
Right.
So.
Those are three minors.
Three minors.
Those are my auntie's three. Okay. Two sons and daughter. They're all minors.
The SHPD recommends the OIBC appoint the applicant listed below lineal descendancy recognition to Ili Kupuna of Edward Kauloanana Parker Waipa, Olana Kupua Lehua Kamaholi'i, Kamuela Kamaholi'i Paisha, Kamakani Kamaholi'i Paisha, and Kaena Kamaholi'i Paisha.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we accept the item number D, the lineal descendancy recognition for Olana Kupua Pua Lehua Kamoholi'i to Edward Kauloanana Parker Waipa, buried at Maui Aba, plot number 24, and to include the names of Kamuela Kuka Aoyuke Kama.
Nanea.
Aye.
Diane.
I need to recuse myself.
Oh, recuse. Ben.
Aye.
I vote aye.
Aye.
Right. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 ayes and 1 recusal. That passes.
Well, I just wanted to clarify something moving forward for lineal descendancy applications that comes before your board. If we, as the applicant, request that in the agenda it's listed as identified human remains when applying for lineal recognition, instead of naming the actual kupuna in the meeting agenda itself, even though it'll be in the SHPTI application, just to protect the name of our kupuna in a public forum, is that something that can be practiced moving forward? I don't know if you have to consult the AGU.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, as long as the underlying documentation, you know, it's all there. But yeah, for purposes of sunshine, I think that's fine.
Okay. Mahalo, just wanted to clarify. Mahalo.
And I would also request that the plot number, M&I, all of that, not be disclosed, as a specific disclosure number.
I believe there's an administrative rule in 13-300 that specifically states that if a descendant wants certain things to remain confidential, that they indicate so in their application. So I'm sorry I don't have the direct citation right now, but I think if maybe there are particular ones that you don't want disclosed, just note that in your application.
Mahalo,
please don't disclose. Okay.
That was noted and was requested.
So I never got that request, so in the future, if you continue with Regina, awesome. But let me know too what your requests are.
I guess
everybody's on the same page, right?
Okay, can
you? I have a question. I have a question, Mahalo.
Yes.
I have a question.
Go, Kikahili.
No.
Wait, hang on. We can't understand you. You're like, your audio's broken up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
It's gonna turn off.
Can you hear me now?
1% off.
Yes.
Okay.
It's turning off. Oh, Bob. Can she call Ben? Can she call your phone or Kamana'o? Can she call your phone?
My phone is up.
Just died.
You hung up on me.
Her battery is dead. Kikahili, can you hear us?
Okay, I don't hear Kamana'o because. Yes. Can you hear me?
Kikahili, what's your phone number?
Oh, wait, no, she should not say her phone number.
We can't
just
hear
just
you.
Say your number. Oh, she said, don't. Never mind. It's a joke. My charger. No, my phone just died. Sorry.
Kamana'o, I can give her your phone number if you want.
Hello?
Yes,
can hear you.
Okay, I have a question because there are minors that you are recognizing and the parent is not here to validate that. So I want to make sure that we apply the same rules to everybody when it comes to recognizing minors.
Yes, what I'll do is we will work with the Attorney General and with SAPD to develop the process for recognizing minors. This is all very new for us in this month's OIBC, so we're still going through some growing pains. But, so yeah, we will work on this.
I understand, but you guys made a motion to approve the recognition of the minors that just was discussed, and the parent is not here.
Yes, I hear you.
So I don't think that's fair. You know, the thing is, if my Ohana had to submit birth certificates for our minors. Now, you just made an exception.
application to Shifty and the memorandum that the council received. So if you could maybe explain that to her.
Did you repeat that again?
The documentation regarding the minors was contained within the recommendation that the council received from SHPD, indicating that they are minors. And it's up to the council right now whether or not to accept the recommendation.
Right.
And it's within their discretion to take any oral testimony at the meeting on any agenda item. And I believe McCullough's the status?
Yes.
Provided oral testimony to that effect, which the council appeared to find credible and accepted.
Okay. Did you hear that? So, thank you, Ewan.
Yes, I did. So, since you said that and it's recorded, I want this applied to my Ohana as well. Because the rules always seem to change when it comes to my Ohana. And we got to jump through.
We only look at what's on the agenda today, but one of the things we will be doing is, this is something brand new that we were implementing this month, and we'll be moving forward with this under the direction of the AGs. So.
Yes, and all I'm saying is, as long as this rule is handled consistently, until it is changed.
Okay. We're going to be moving up further on the agenda now, okay? Okay, we are now on agenda item W, draft addenda, burial treatment plan for SIHP 5080-14-075-80, Aliyah Project located at 88 Alamar Boulevard, Honolulu, Alpa, Kona District, Island of Oahu, KFK 121056, 014-015-016.
And I presume that's why Matt is sitting
there.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, she's not Matt?
Yeah. Wow.
He's
very, very patient.
Yes.
You guys are patient.
First time I get to share a sentence.
Where's Hal?
He's online right now.
Oh, really?
Do we need to share a screen or anything, or can everyone see?
Diane, Nanea, can you see the PowerPoint?
Yes, I can see it.
Okay, thank you.
Place, but he last time had to recuse himself because
of the Oh no, when did he die?
Okay,
then go ahead. I mean, who's in charge? Chuck, you're in charge. Chuck's in charge.
Yeah, go ahead.
Aloha, everyone.
Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Sarah Blake Hutt. I am a project director with Cultural Surveys Hawaii. With me today is Michelle Clark, project manager. We had Matt Panaz from Kobayashi online. I don't see him anymore. He may be en route. But we are here representing the LIA at 888 Ala Moana project. As you may remember, CSH completed data recovery field work for this project in the first half of this year. You know,
During that work, an isolated human tooth was identified. Unfortunately, the next three OIBC meetings were canceled. But we were happy to be able to get here last month and present to you guys the project update. So we're back today to present the draft addendum BTP for your determination. And we have hard copies for you guys there. Please note that since the digital copies were out, we received additional consultation that's been added, and we have a sheet in there that has the original just for reference. You can
just
cross-reference what the changes are. All right, so to reorient you guys, the project is within Kaka'ako area, just above Ward Avenue. It is bounded by Ala Moana here, Ko'ola Street here, and Oahi Street here. The main area of the project we're going to be talking about is this south corner. The project is in development by Kobayashi Group, and it includes a 400-foot tower, mixed-use tower, and commercial, with residential and commercial spaces. A brief recap of the completed historic preservation to date. CSH completed an AIS back in 2013. That was accepted in 2014. The AIS identified 6 historic properties, 4 of which included human remains or burials. From that AIS, a number of mitigation plans were developed, including a burial treatment plan, a data recovery plan, preservation plan, and monitoring plan, all of which were accepted in 2014. Following that, the data recovery program was started in 2015. The project subsequently was put on pause. It was restarted back in 2022, and the remaining data recovery fieldwork was then completed this year, between March and June. And the end of fieldwork letter has been accepted as of last month, which allows the project to receive their permits. Right, this is an aerial photograph showing the current conditions of the project. To orient, we have Ala Moana Boulevard down here, Ko'ola Street. Mauka is to the top, and Makai is to the bottom. The subject of the addendum BTP is right here, this red triangle, and that is SIHP 7580, burial 9. This figure also shows our AIS excavations in green, including additional testing that was done near the burial finds. The yellow here is the interpolated extent of the subsurface cultural layer, 7580.
This is the KS land.
Oh, this is KS. Yeah.
Bye.
And then, so that subsurface cultural layer was the object of the data recovery, where we then identified the human tooth. The purple boxes represent the data recovery excavations. So you can see our subject burial is within the data recovery excavation. This south corner has a lot going on. You can see numerous burials here. These were addressed in the project's original BTP, and they received a determination of preservation in place. Also, this burial here, identified during the AIS, received a determination of relocation to this burial preserve. The red box here represents the established burial preserve, and the yellow and black box represents a cultural layer preserve area.
Okay.
As previously mentioned, the project has an accepted BTP. So this addendum BTP is addressing
BTP
this.
Is
the BTP. Burial treatment time.
Okay.
Yeah. So this addendum BTP is focused on, it's requesting the determination for this burial that was identified during recent data recovery work. It also describes the associated consultation efforts. And additionally, it has proposed changes to the interim construction protection, and it provides additional details for the reinterment vault location, size, and construction that were not provided in the original burial treatment plan.
So can you not move it over to where the other ones are at?
That's what we're proposing, yeah, and that's what you guys get to make a determination on. Yeah. So this figure here, same orientation as the aerial in the previous slide. This is the project plans. So the building footprint is all of this. There's a parking garage over here, and then this corner of the project is all landscaped area, and that's where the burial preserve and the cultural layer preserves are, and then our human tooth is currently within the driveway of the project.
Is that tooth in fill?
I'll go over that right now.
Oh, okay.
The tooth was identified during data recovery excavations while screening the targeted 7580 cultural material. So it was not in a burial context, but it was within that cultural layer. We identified it during screening. And it was reburied at approximate same depth to preserve it temporarily in place to await treatment determination. Per the data recovery plan and in consultation with SHPD, this is being considered previously identified. So falls to OIBC for the determination. No other human remains were identified during data recovery, so just this tooth.
So when you say it's in a cultural layer, that excludes any possibility of it being in fill material.
I mean,
the way I visualize it, and I'm no expert.
It's not a historic fill deposit. It's the A horizon, the kind of dark, sandy.
Yeah, right.
It has all of the features extending from it, and the additional burials in the AIS, that this cultural layer had 8 historic coffin burials related to it. And that's what's in that preserve. Okay. Consultation has been ongoing since the project's inception. Consultation specific to this burial has included notifications to all parties. It was placed, like I mentioned previously, on the agendas July, August, and September, which were unfortunately canceled. In the meantime, consultation efforts continued. Burial notices were placed in the Star Advertiser in July and in the Kawaiʻola for August. A series of cultural descent meetings were held in August. Those were also attended by SHPD and the OIBC representative. Following those consultations, SHPD requested additional excavation adjacent to where the tooth was found. That was completed shortly after, in the beginning of September. We were here last month to present at the October meeting, and then following that, consultation emails were sent out to all recognized descendants requesting written burial treatment preferences. And the addendum BTP was approved for your determination on October 30th. That's kind of where we're at.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in this meeting is a part of your consultation?
Yes.
Anybody attending the meeting today?
Yeah.
You are? Okay. How different were those meetings?
I don't know if you guys want me to say my comment to the end, or you want me to answer right now. Up to you, Vice Chair. Up to you guys.
Were they productive?
The meetings themselves were very productive. I only had honestly one concern. To be honest, in my family we disagree often. I'm the only one, probably of all the descendants actually, who voted for preservation in place. I understand the want to move it, and I can live with myself if it's relocated. My issue is, if you check this timeline that they have right here, so the consultation email to recognize cultural descendants requesting written burial treatment preference was in October. We've never seen this draft of the BTP as it's written, the addendum. We never got a copy. And so whatever's being presented to you folks today, we haven't seen it. Typically on other projects, and I think CSH can attest to this, We give our preferences, they draft the burial treatment plan, and then we have another consultation meeting to go over the burial treatment plan as it's written, and then we get one more chance to voice any concerns, comments, etc. For whatever reason, we were not provided that opportunity for this one, and that's the only concern of mine. But like I said, regarding the actual decision you folks have to make today, in specifically in regards to relocation or preservation in place, I believe that CSH did above and beyond their due diligence in terms of facilitating the conversation.
Great. Anybody else out there in Zoom land who went to the meeting? Anybody in Zoom land? Nobody in Zoom land.
Okay. Do you have any problems with giving this to them?
Oh. Oh, no, that's fine.
Yeah. Actually, that's our coffee.
Oh.
Are you
all of these?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I got to take that back
So now that's clear, then maybe you can just make sure you talk, start with them, make sure everybody's on the same page and moving forward. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's continue on. I'm sorry to interrupt
your
presentation.
They can send them a link.
Yeah, we can send it out.
Okay.
So the proposed treatment for this isolated tooth is relocation to the established burial preserve where SIHP 7580 burials 1 through 8, 7581 and 7583 are being preserved in place and where 7582 will be relocated. Relocation is being proposed as this is an isolated element. There is an established burial preserve and another isolated find from a non-burial context is being relocated as well. This treatment is supported by preferences indicated by the cultural dissidents during consultation. It was, as Makoa mentioned, it was not unanimous. We received 5 written responses, 4 for relocation and 1 for preservation in place. Also, as mentioned earlier, the BTP is requesting a modification to the interim construction protective measures, that it would be a reduction of the previously approved 8-foot high plywood barricade to make it a standard 4-foot high plywood barricade. That eliminates the need for significant footings for this barricade, which limits the ground disturbance in the sensitive area, and also allows easier access and maintenance of the preserve during construction. This was generally well received throughout consultation.
By barricade, you mean the wall around it?
The wall around it during construction, yeah. To protect it during construction.
I think you divided up before.
We would also like to make a decision on the placement of the vault. So the current draft of the BTP, addendum BTP, shows the location here, this blue box. And that's the same location that was proposed in the original BTP. But in the original BTP, it said that placement of the vault would be decided upon further consultation prior to construction. The vault could go anywhere within this burial preserve boundaries that have been previously excavated during the AIS. So all of the yellow is an option, of course, not where any of the burials are currently.
I think you said those red were coffin burials.
Yes, coffin burials, and then we have 2 smaller ones up here too. So during the last consultation emails, we sent out this figure with a couple of other options. So there's also this pink rectangle here as an option, and this option down here in the west corner. Feedback was kind of mixed. We did get a request to choose option 3. We also received a comment that the vault should be placed closest to the original find locations. So of these options, that would probably be option 2. Like I said, the current in the addendum ATP, BTP is option 1, as that was the one in the original BTP. So if there's any comments on that.
Sure. I really have a question. Mm-hmm. So the traffic that's going through there, where is it going to be anywhere near the traffic or under the traffic or
in the burial preserve?
Where they're constantly cars are moving or
the burial preserve is And do you mean where the tooth is currently, or
the
burial
where
preserve?
The
burial preserve is in this large landscaped area, and it will be fenced off.
And so the barrier that you were talking about before is that heavy red line around it, which is kind of construction fence.
That will be, I believe there's an additional buffer, so it'll be outside of this line. This will be the official burial preserve.
And where do you folks recommend it going?
Well, I mean, it was presented in the original BTP as the option number one. We presented the additional two options to depict kind of some different potential areas that it could be placed in to offer additional options. For us, it's more just providing the information.
Okay.
This is an issue that I love to bring up at this point in the discussion. If you find additional burials during construction, how are you going to treat them?
Exactly.
That's one of my favorite questions.
They will be inadvertent finds, and then depending on what the determination is, there's additional room for additional vaults if that was...
Well, see, that's my big things as to what is an inadvertent find versus a previously discovered one. And in the, I know of previous projects where burials have been discovered and they've been treated willy-nilly to the adverse effect upon various cultural descendants, if you understand what I'm babbling about. So again, it's a very important question. And I like to see in every burial treatment plan some wordage. I know you don't have to do it by the law. Oh, she ran out on me. But some wording in there that would say, okay, if inadvertent discoveries will be treated this way.
So in the original BTP, there is a section in there about inadvertent discoveries. And that language has been copied into the addendum. And it, I believe, just says that anything found during archaeological monitoring will be treated as an inadvertent discovery under SHP.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question.
How will it be treated?
How will it be handled or treated?
Before I ask my question, I think Chase in the Zoom had a question. He's had his hand up for a little while. So I don't know if you want me to go before him, but he had his hand up before I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Mahalo. Site, it's not related, but Leslie, I believe my mother, Keala, is waiting to be let in on the meeting. Mahalo, Mako.
Oh, is that what you're asking?
Oh,
about?
Mahalo.
No. Well, I was saying he was before me, but.
Understand.
Do you think you could also go back a few slides to the general overview of the entire site, including the AIS and data recovery trenches that you folks have conducted?
I think that's one of the second or third.
So right here. So, and I'm glad that Susan Lee won't have to see you here. My question was regarding, so we've been told, we've been consulting on this project since November of 2013. So I was like 12. But there's a really big gap. You see, I'm just going to stand up for you folks. Our concern is this building right here. We were told from 2013 on that no AIS trenching could be done within that building because at the time they had active tenants in there. In our experience, as recognized descendants to a number of projects, that's typically one of our concerned areas because now that thing is empty.
Right.
And we have no archaeological information about what the stratigraphy looks like there, whether the cultural layer, there might be a bigger cultural deposit under there. And right now, as it is, there's if anything is found within that giant building footprint, it would all be considered inadvertent, and thus whether preservation or relocation could happen is solely within the power of Shifty, which has had a not so good record lately in terms of preservation in place versus relocation.
See, that's precisely the question I'm asking. There should be plans made up front. I know the law
says that if they're found, they're inadvertent. But that doesn't mean that we, as a burial council, can't require you to say in the burial treatment plan, what will you do with any inadvertent discoveries? Not just that they're going to be identified as inadvertent, but how are they going to be handled? Now, don't try and answer them today, but I think that needs some serious thought, because the more you know me, the more you're going to hear this question. Now, Matt's heard the question.
I can give you the same answer if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, I know, and I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
All right. So I had the same question that Donna had over there, was that how can we come with a plan when there's still buildings over there going to be demolished? I'm pretty sure all those buildings are going to be demolished, right? You know, so that used to be the car, what you call it, automotive place where you buy cars. So how come we're not waiting until that thing is done, where everything is all out, before you come up with to include that as part of the plan? When is that building going to come out, in other words?
Well, so the building's going to be coming down as part of the construction phase of the project. So the AIS for the project was completed previously, and so this is the data recovery stage of it, so different phase of the testing process. So the data recovery has the option of a two-step verification process, which is where the field work can be completed and a field work letter be prepared, and that's what then goes to SHPD for their approval. And then and once that's approved, all the permits and everything can officially move forward. It's kind of one of the last steps before construction can begin. And then in the interim, at that point, the data recovery analysis and report can be prepared. So that's the stage that we're at now, where during the data recovery, we've completed all of the testing, and the last bit of testing before construction. And
well, how can you do the last of it, because you still have buildings there? So that thing will have to be demolished first for you to check. I mean, that thing or any other building that is still up, right? No.
That's a complicated question.
Okay.
I do understand exactly. I do know where it's stemming from.
Okay.
You know, so I do hear that, and I.
But you know, I just want to suggest on that one map that you showed of the cultural graveyard or whatever, you had three sites for a reinterment vaults.
Yeah.
Call it. Why don't you make those vaults large enough so that in the future, any remains that are found, any EV that's found, can be properly reinterred? That happens all the time on all kinds of projects.
Right.
Yeah, and there's nothing against that, and you know, we definitely
and
are.
A simple sentence in the burial treatment plan.
Yeah, we can add something if it's agreed upon. You know, that we add something to the burial treatment plan about additional vaults being.
Yeah, that vault there is
initially.
You can build all three vaults, or leave space for them to be built when something else is found.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they seem to be a little bit large for a tooth, frankly.
Yes,
and that's what grazes my question. Because
you have a question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. So my first question is more so for Shifty. Has Shifty considered requiring a supplemental AIS be done specifically to add a few trenches within that building that is now vacant of tenants?
I'm sorry that I can't answer you. I can only answer questions raised directed to me by the council.
Oh, no worries.
I'm sorry, but that's the
no, question. No worries. That's I totally understand.
Aloha.
Well, I think we all.
Aloha.
I think we all know.
Aloha.
Aloha.
What's that?
Aloha, Chuck. This is Keala. I have a question, please.
Sure.
His question hasn't been answered.
Yeah. Let me get through this one question. He has a very good point, and I'm disappointed in myself for not bringing it up earlier, because it should be part of the AIS. I can understand the economic reason you don't want to tear down a building prematurely, but your work is not complete until that building is torn down, so why not leave the door open to expand it at a future date? anyway, I don't want to, you know, we've gone over that question quite a lot, but that's a very good question. Maybe you can give us an answer next month.
So if he directs his question to you and you repeat his question to me, yeah, I will answer his question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chuck. So my question is, has Shifty considered requiring a supplemental AIS now that the tenants have vacated the footprint of the building?
Right.
So they wouldn't even have to tear the building down to actually do the AIS trenches. The building could still be standing, and it's empty now, and they could conduct AIS trenching.
I think you heard the question.
You got to repeat it.
You have to repeat it or ask me to answer the question.
Can you please answer the question?
Sorry about that. No, I understand procedure. No worries.
I just know what I'm allowed to do or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so first off, there's the... I'll give you several different answers. So the first answer is the overall process is do an AIS, then... Based on those findings, there's a recommendation of what needs to be done next. And in this case, the recommendation was that there were historic properties and burials on this property that were going to be impacted by the project. So the recommendation was mitigation. There was a determination that there would be an effect. Then there was consultation after the AIS was accepted as to what that mitigation would include. And so that's where the recommendation was there would be archaeological monitoring. There would also be archaeological data recovery, which is more intensive excavation of specific locations. There would be burial preservation, as well as one relocation of one burial, and that there would be this cultural preserve. Those were all decided as what would be done as mitigation. So the data recovery required a data recovery plan and then the implementation. Because the data recovery process takes a long time to complete, including the report, they requested for this project what's called a two-step verification process, which means that they would complete all of the mitigation plans, the preservation plan, the burial treatment plan, the monitoring plan, the data recovery plan, they would all have to be reviewed and accepted. The data recovery field work would have to be done. They would turn in an end of field work letter report showing that they've met the requirements of that data recovery, which they indicated they turned in October. That would get reviewed to say that they've adequately implemented the data recovery plan. And then the next step would be to allow them to receive their permits and go to construction. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did Shifty look at the question of an addendum AIS? Yes, Shifty did. Okay. And that was discussed with the Shifty administrator, who's Dr. Alan Downer. And Shifty's decision came out in a letter end of October, I think, that said that Shifty's not asking for an addendum AIS, okay? And the basis for that is if you go back to that slide and you look at where the test units were for the AIS and what their findings were, you can see that there's all those green trenches that were placed near the building with the idea that what's between the cultural layer that's on the right hand side in that yellow or orange, and the building, that there was nothing found. There was no cultural layer there, which was related to the cultural layer on the right that did include EV. So the assumption was that there was unlikely to be a change in findings under the building. The cultural layer on the left of that building has identified no EV. And it didn't have the pit features and the cultural artifact assemblage that's present to the right. So it's all phased out, you know, so there you can see all the green trenches down below, the green trenches in the other buildings, they all show that there's no cultural layer there, and all of the EV that has been found was in the culture.
So, but to so the project proponent will be getting a permit to demo the buildings, and they are agreeing to do, instead of just saying, okay, we're going to construction and we'll just come in with our heavy equipment and you know, to start all this trenching, they're going to do controlled excavation, which is more controlled than what was done during the AIS. So during the AIS, they, you know, used a backhoe and you know, might take out a scoop at a time or whatever. They're planning to do controlled excavation, which would be no more than 10 centimeters, which is about 4 inches, that they would remove the, once they get below the asphalt, they would, in the underlying base course and fill, they would do this controlled excavation, and then if they hit a cultural layer, they will go to hand excavation. So the point would be that unlike, say, the park at Keomoku, we would not be having the same kind of excavation. Yeah. It would be controlled.
Okay.
With the idea that if there are findings, they would be done, they would be found more likely all in place.
Yeah.
So that is the approach that the developer has agreed to.
I really appreciate your explanation. I really appreciate it. So does it answer your question?
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you one more.
But the thing is, that doesn't answer my original question.
No, but I'm going to finish answering his. So, you know, one of the things that is part of the overall process in terms of how it works is, you know, a project developer will come in and they will, you know, propose a project. And we've always had the issue of how do you test inside a building that's still standing and still occupied? And so we've been trying to work with the Department of Planning and Permitting to allow for their issuance of permits to be a little bit different, such that we can say, okay, can you separate out and issue a permit for demo, and then allow more testing to occur and keep the AIS open till the demo is done, versus it all has to be pre-demo. So that's one of the things we're working on, is to make it possible for, because we have other projects in Kaka'ako, for example, where we want an AIS, but the project area is primarily building. So we need to find ways for the building demo permits to be issued and separated from the building permit. So that's what we're, another thing that we're working on. So just
very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now you understand why the condos there are going to cost $3 million a piece.
Yeah.
But anyway,
okay. And then
but that still doesn't answer the question that after they demo that building, they might find some remains.
Yes.
And the question to you is, what do you do with it? I think we beat that dead horse a lot.
So if additional human remains are found through any of the remainder of the project, yes, they would be considered inadvertent finds. The main difference here is that they will be hopefully found in situ. So there's, you know, there's better potential for preservation because you have an in situ context for that. If they are found, then it would be Shifty's decision in terms of preserve in place and relocate based on the consultation that occurs. And then that consultation could result in preservation in place depending on where they are, or relocation into the burial preserve.
Okay, any other comments, questions? Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, somebody was talking.
Kayala?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hang on.
You still
yes.
there?
Yes, aloha. So, you know, Howard Hughes Corporation has done many projects with AIS in buildings that have been occupied and or not occupied, as well as, you know, still standing. They are really good examples of what can be done with an AIS, as well as they have waited to demolish. Right now, even for Block N West, they have demolished Ross's, and they will, you know, amend their archaeological inventory survey by additional test trenches. I have an issue with this whole thing about controlled excavations, because they would be considered inadvertent and not previously identified. So I have an issue with that. So it is not that it hasn't been done by other developers. Other developers have managed to do AIS test trenches, and we've been, my Ohana and I have been requesting additional test trenches for the past 2 months. So while I appreciate Susan Lebo's explanation, I feel that especially between the two subsurface cultural layer areas where that building is located, that more test trenches need to be done in that area especially. That's my mana'o. Mahalo.
Thank you. Okay, any other comments? Okay.
Are you looking for recommendation today?
Yeah, what is it that you want?
Determination.
There's two determinations. Just look on the agenda, and it has the two on the bottom that you need to do.
Okay, well.
I'd like to say something. Is that Chuck?
Yeah.
I think what Chuck was saying, to have something written into the burial treatment plan about any inadvertently found, any inadvertent discoveries, to have them, it says, it's your last line that the project proponents have discussed potential to have inadvertently discovered native Hawaiian human remains reinterred within the proposed burial preserve area addressed in this plan. It's just proposed here, but as Chuck was saying, is it possible to have that actually written in?
Yeah, what I would suggest is a motion that we approve this addendum AIS, right? With the proviso that there be a short paragraph stating what will happen if inadvertent discoveries are, if inadvertent finds are discovered on the site. Either remain in place, like you suggested, or relocated to a designated burial area.
Chuck, she already said what they had planned to do already as far as digging and going down, what did you call it, digging process?
Control
digging, right. And I think, I'm not sure, but that should be sufficient. Or do they want more than that, control digging?
Oh, the control digging is a very good idea, because it shows that the developer is sensitive to the fact that there might be other remains there.
That is part of the plan already, right? Is it part of the plan?
No, it's part of their...
It's not part of the burial treatment plan.
Okay, but is that what you wanted to do, or is that what you're proposing?
It doesn't go in the burial treatment plan. What goes in the burial treatment plan is the actual treatment of the EV that happened.
Yeah, this control grading,
right,
is part of their grading permit.
Okay.
And the developer has willingly come forward and said, look, we'll do a control grading kind of thing so that we're extra careful.
So the project currently has an approved archaeological monitoring plan. But with this agreement from the developer, there will be a new archaeological monitoring plan created for this project for Shifty review that will specify what their excavation and documentation would look like under this controlled excavation.
Yeah, and that does not address...
It doesn't go in the BTP, no.
Yeah, and it doesn't address what they do in this controlled thing if they find EV.
Yeah, other than it would immediately start the process of HAR 13-300-40 for inadvertent finds. So you would still go
go through the same process.
You still have to identify, right?
Yes, you still identify them, you still consult.
That's the first part.
And then a decision is made, right, preserve in place or relocate.
Right.
And then again, the relocation recommendation most likely would, as they indicated, their willingness to add them to the existing burial preserve as opposed to creating more burial preserves.
Exactly, and that's what I'm suggesting, you know.
Are you folks specifically determining whether to preserve in place dead teeth, is what you're talking about? Specifically, or moving it?
Or relocating.
Okay. And you folks have, what's your recommendation?
Relocate to the burial preserve.
Yeah, I'm for relocating too.
Yeah, so the motion should be, actually, we usually have two motions, right?
Yes.
The first motion is to recommend relocation as requested.
Right.
And the second motion would be to approve the burial treatment plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So, why don't you make the recommendation that we recommend the...
You have several people with their hands.
Oh.
Kayala and Kaylee.
Kayala?
Aloha, Chuck. I believe my teacher had her hand first. I'll go after.
Oh, okay, uh-huh. Go ahead. Keika Ely. She's not.
Mahalo and aloha, Kako. I have a concern. You know, I know and I respect Susan Ebo's input. But the concern I have is, you know, TPOC, we found there were a lot of discoveries there on areas that we were told were not cultural layers. We were actually told it was wetland areas, and we discovered Ivikupuna there. So just so that you guys are all in the know and you guys are all aware when you make your decisions, yeah, I really don't care if it is cultural layer or not, because Ivikupuna was discovered in areas that was not cultural layer in TPOC area. And the other thing that I want to state, that whatever decision this council makes, I want it also noted that should Ivikupuna be discovered during the interim of this construction or whatever they do for Aliyah, that we are consulted, the descendants, recognized descendants are consulted before wrapping Ivikupuna, because that should be something that all of the recognized descendants should have participation in. And there have been sites that we did not have participation in, and that is part of our kuleana when coming to do a reinterment. And I know that's discussed in the burial treatment plan, but I want to note it now that Aliyah Project respects all recognized descendants when it comes to the treatment of Ivikupuna.
Okay, thank you. I think you guys have a pretty good record of doing that, of contacting the descendants.
Yeah.
Okay, Kayala, did you have anything?
I do. Mahalo nui. I'd like to kako'o what my tita had just stated. And in fact, you know, in lines, just to add what my sister had just said, CSH has been in the middle of denying my ohana the right to wrap Ivikupuna, denying our cultural and religious beliefs wrapping Ivikupuna. They have been in the middle of it on several projects. So that aside, I would like to touch on the whole controlled digging, and I'm disturbed that anybody would be okay with that. It's never been done before. And it's less protection for Ivikupuna versus the AIS. Let it be on record that my ohana and I have requested AIS test trenches for this project should Ivikupuna come up. The point of doing an AIS is to preserve in place and protect them and not be given to the state to make a decision to
relocate. Okay, that should be the purpose of the AIS. And I'm kind of disturbed that the state would take the position and side with the developer on controlled digging, because you're taking away the right of the voices for Ibi Kupuna and preserving place with the AIS. Mahalo.
I just have two comments. One is that I think all of those who have cultural descendancy to any of these projects, that number one, they should all work together, whether they like it or not, whether they get along or not. And number two, there should be a kakote. It's about not them, but those that are in the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't matter what everybody else in the ground were after or before, but when it comes to that thing, everything Christ said, you're working on the project. And so that's number one. Number two, the second one is that you know, I'm not familiar with that controlled digging thing. I have no clue. And so, you know, I'm kind of up in the air on that, but I'm going to just go along with the flow and see what happens. Yeah? So should we call for a motion? Okay.
Remember, I said we have two motions.
Right.
Number one, to recommend it to the tooth be relocated,
right,
as shown on the exhibit.
Right.
That's all the...
That's the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd like to make a motion going from item number W. Let's see. On determining whether to preserve in place or to relocate the above human skeletal remains, I recommend that we relocate the above human remains to the location where the other remains are at. That would be my motion.
As you showed in the addendum.
So we need want somebody to second it up there.
Diane, can you second that?
Yeah, I second.
Thank you. I'm chairman. I can't.
Oh, that was impressive.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I have one more question. I'm so sorry. I need to ask this question.
Okay, go ahead.
We vote to relocate after we're voting. Does that take? Shifty cannot change that. Is that what you're saying? If any more inadvertent fines are found, they automatically will be.
Well, no, we'll come to that in the second motion.
Okay, but I'm asking that question. Okay, so, but for this one, I go aye.
Okay, the second motion is to approve
the vote.
Oh, okay, yeah. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Nanea?
She already said yeah.
She did say
four. Yeah.
Okay. The second motion is to approve.
Is that quorum?
I'll do that.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just explain what I would like to hear from based on our discussion. Is to approve the addendum burial treatment plan for the one EV that was found. And my recommendation is that we approve it with a caveat, or with the condition that there be a very short paragraph that states what will be done to any EV that are inadvertently found during construction. Now, we've talked about the two options. So all I'm asking is that those one or the other option is included in the draft EIS.
So there will be inadvertent EV.
Yeah.
So Chuck, if I
think
just
you start.
What?
We need to explain something.
You have to follow the law.
Yeah. I know you have to follow the law.
340 says that if you have discoveries, there will be consultation, and the decision will be made based on that consultation by the SHPD when the barrels are found. So, we can put that language in there, but it doesn't hold any water. You know, we have to follow the 13340 process.
We can't say yes, it's relocated now ahead of time, or know that it's preserved in place.
Well, you'll say either that it's either
based on consultation,
remained in place, but if the decision is made to relocate it, then it's relocated to that cultural garden.
Well,
what would, yeah,
I mean,
so
yeah,
what's so
to
difficult
extent,
about that? I don't understand the difficulty of this.
The purpose of a BTP is...
Well, so I would like to add, if I may, that you guys are overriding the descendants. This OIDC is overriding the decision of the descendants, which the descendants should be making that decision, not Shifty and not you. This is our Ivi Kupuna.
Shifty's not over.
We're not doing anything.
Who is it?
Yes.
Maybe if I'm wrong, but... at this point, since there is a question on the addendum of the BTP, the addendum to the BTP, that it would be my thought that the burial council should not pass it until the addendum has been, instead of adding caveats to it, that it is in fact revised. Would that be possible?
Well, I hear you, but I don't want to delay anything. I mean, the developer's been sitting on it for...
Yeah, because I'm not in total agreement that we should pass it, because, you know, there are still some questions about, about the what Cape Tahiti is bringing up, what everybody is bringing up. There are some concerns that the additional, digging might be in order, and so therefore that would affect this addendum, and so that's why I'm speaking up. Even I'm concerned, and I did have opportunity to comment, even though I wasn't at the meeting, on my concerns. And so, all the concerns were brought up. I have to agree. I'm concerned that if you pass this, then it's pretty much going to go forward, and that's not what we want to see. Okay. We want to see the revisions to the addendum if it's possible.
Sure. Actually, thank you for pointing this out. I mean, I've seen this before. This is exactly what I've been looking for.
Okay. Great.
I mean, let me read it to you, and I my voice is giving out on me, so stay be patient. If human skeletal remains are inadvertently discovered during project construction, they will be treated in accordance with Hawaii State Burial Law regarding inadvertent burial discoveries. Following these regulations, burial treatment of all inadvertent burial finds shall be determined by the Shifty in accordance with HRS and in consultation with recognized cultural descendants. The project proponents have discussed the potential to have inadvertently discovered Native Hawaiian human remains reinterred within the proposed burial preserve area addressed in this plan. That's what I want to hear. I mean, that's what I wanted to see. Did you understand what I read?
Yeah, I just had a question of clarification, just because we never got a copy of it till today, right? So, in the BTP, does it state that extra burial vaults will be dug and placed into the ground prior?
No.
And it doesn't say anything about the vaults being extra big. It's just a vault big enough to fit that tooth.
It's the vault, so we didn't get there in the presentation, but this is the proposed vault, and it's the 2x4 HECO vault that we've used on other projects. And that would accommodate both this tooth and the other one that's being relocated.
Yeah.
But there's no discussion of it accommodating additional burials.
My recommendation would be just
a new vault.
It's better if you gotta dig it one time. I would rather it be dug one time than we put this vault in, and then a year later we gotta dig again right next to now an existing extra vault that we just put in. You know what I mean? Better to dig them one time. You put a vault in there, and just for cultural appropriation's sake, you put a pohaku or a maila in there, similar to how you would if you dig an imu and you don't leave it empty. Yeah, that's the only thing that I would have added to this. But I appreciate, like Chuck said, the language that you guys have included.
There have been a lot of projects, some that you guys have worked on, where you've intentionally had a big, huge vault with the intention that there are more Ivi going to be found, and they're placed in their little baskets in this thing. It had a sand bottom, and it's, very well done, tastefully done. But the size, if the developer wants to put in an additional vault at a later time, I mean, that's kind of, I hear what you're saying. I think your approach is better because I'm sure they're going to be finding more remains. Okay, so the motion is to, I guess we don't need my condition.
Do we have enough people?
Yes.
It's majority.
Okay.
Do we...
So a three vote yes and it passes.
Yeah. Do I hear a recommendation to adopt the draft addendum burial treatment plan?
Okay. So I'd like to make a motion that we adopt... Wait, before we do that, any other questions or comments? So does that address your question? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I mean, I would just like to add that into the BTP.
Space you're in, you're right.
Well, what we can do, you know, we have the option. This BTP supports the determination you're making now.
Right.
This has to be turned into a burial site component, which is approved for SHBD.
Yeah.
And that text, which you're talking about, can be added to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's totally fine.
The culture descendants who've been recognized, we can talk to them, be sure everyone's on the same page.
Sure.
That totally.
Okay. And so I wanted to make sure that, Kikali, where is, what's the two sisters' name?
Kiala and Kikali.
Kiala. And the other one, anybody there?
They both had to leave the meeting.
Okay. Can you have comments?
I just stand by what both my mom and my auntie recommended in the first place. That's where we as Ohana and Kealeha stand.
Okay. Thank you. So I think that's a good balance. Yes, I'm going to make the recommendation that we accept the...
The draft,
the
addendum to
we have the addendum to the approved burial plan as outlined in this book, right?
Yeah, which is the addendum.
Yeah, it's outlined in this book. So that's what we're making a motion that we accept this addendum as part of the plan for Aliyah.
Diane,
can you reread the addendum or just give it a synopsis of the addendum? And does it include constructing more vaults as well?
No, it doesn't, but it does state that any additional EV found will either go into an existing vault or be reinterred somewhere in the cultural, I call it the cultural garden, with a new vault or a larger vault. I leave that up to the developer and the descendants to work out. That's what I'd like to do. So, Diane, you trying to second?
Yes, I second.
Thank you very much. Okay, so, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. And thank you for your help, Diane and Nanea. It's hard to communicate through a TV screen.
So in accepting, you're recommending that it goes back to Ship D.
Yeah.
That's okay. Thank you.
Okay, what's next on the agenda? Where's our leader? My voice is running out. Okay, do we have an update on the OHA?
My sister is trying to get in. Can you allow
others?
Oh, I'm off the hook. Yeah, that is good input. We're on the very last thing.
We're at X. Anybody here from OHA? Give an update.
Well, I guess we don't. Yeah. I'd like to just say something about this item. This item has been on the agenda, or it's been in the works for at least 2 years, maybe 2.5 years.
2 years?
If not more. And the whole goal of this working group was to come up with ideas to amend the state law that controls the care and taking of Evie. And that's been 2 years, and as far as I'm concerned, it's been too long.
Yes.
I'm a very impatient person. We have a session coming up in two months, mm-hmm. we should have something on the table. So, Leslie, could we really twist some arms over there and get somebody here to explain what we can or can't support next year?
Yeah, I've sent out numerous emails to many of the members inviting them to come. Let me do it through my administrator and see if that works.
Okay, that'd be really appreciated, because if we're going to get anything done, they've got to have legislation drafted, written, and ready to go.
Okay.
And they should be doing that right now, so they should know what they want.
Okay.
She's having issues.
Can she get
hearing?
Can she?
She's saying it's muted. She kind of hear the discussion in the room.
Oh,
her phone.
But I can put her on speakerphone too, if that would be easier.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, I'll hold on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Your phone sucks.
I don't know your phone,
Aloha, Olana.
Aloha. I just wanted to say mahalo for recognizing my keiki and myself.
Oh, ole pilikia. Okaha ole.
Mahalo
noe. And with that, we come to the end of our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'll see you next month.
Yeah, and you guys are awesome.
Okay.
Good timing.
Thank you, Diane.
Yes.
And then, yeah. Mahalo.
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 Mahalo. Mahalo.
Recording stopped.
Hey, we got some chocolate here.
Right? There you go.
And you have any chocolate cracker. Take them back to your office.
Ooh, they're gonna love you. Thanks. Oh, we'll take this back tomorrow. We'll let everyone have a little bit of a chat. Oh, yeah. Can you guys, coming out, can you pass that yellow copy, Ben, get over there to us? I gotta go back to ship. Thank you, dear.
Come on,
how come we don't like the
report? Those are for the office, but it's online. I'll send it to you separately so that you don't have problems with it.
I mean, a pass. We have three locations.
Right.
We can pay one of the other. That makes sense. Maybe
well, welcome back, Chuck. Great to have you back.
What?
It's great to have you back.
I think that was the best.